right, welcome everybody. This is Tennis Heads. Today is August 20th, 2014. I am Kirby Martin alongside the blazing Bajan, Chike Delamore.
You got it.
Today we're here to give a preview of the U.S. Open, focusing on the men's side. Chike, what you got?
Well, Kirby, who are you thinking of to kind of be the biggest dark horses in the Open? The people who might be ranked outside of the top 10 or even the top 20 who have the biggest potential of bringing down the big upsets?
I've got one name and one name only for you, Chike, and that is Gaël Monfils.
Well, I want to throw two names out there. One is Tommy Robredo. He is a very tough out for any player right now. Plays very solid. You have to beat him. He is not going to beat himself. And the second player I want to throw out there is actually Donald Young. Because Donald, I mean, he went to the semis in the City Open, which was an ATP 500 event. He has some good wins under his belt. He has a lot of confidence coming into the U.S. Open. I feel that given the right scenario, the right situation on either Arthur Ashe Stadium or the grandstand, he could pull off a big upset.
I will not disagree with you that Young is capable of pulling off a big upset, but two or more, I think, is less likely.
I would agree.
All right, I actually want to throw one other name before I get to Gaël, and that's Philipp Kohlschreiber. He is a man on the tennis court. He hammers the ball. He plays very consistent, and he's got a great serve and return of serve.
Which is amazing for a guy who's only 5'10" inches tall.
For sure. So, I had the pleasure of attending the Cincinnati tournament last week for 3 days, and the player who really impressed me the most was Gaël Monfils. And everyone knows that he's a great mover, that he is a fantastic athlete, perhaps the best athlete on the men's tour. However, the knock against him in years past has been what?
It has been kind of his sometimes desire to win, let's say. He has at times been well up in matches and just seemed to just kind of throw it away, or go down in matches and not really seem to fight. Like his just desire to win just seems to at times just leave the premises.
And his decision making, right?
Yeah, definitely.
He has not played smart tennis in the past.
He doesn't play necessarily to win the point. He often plays to entertain a crowd.
Which is awesome. And I love him for that, and I know a lot of people love him for that. But the way that I saw him play Roger in Cincinnati, and actually on television the week before that, he is playing some incredibly smart percentage tennis. He's not bringing the hammer on every shot. He's waiting for an opening. He's playing really, really smart tennis. And I think the entire men's tour has to be on alert because Gaël is ready to take fools down.
Okay. Another player who just recently crept back up into the top 10 after languishing somewhere in the lower teens for some time is Joe-Willy Tsonga. And he's coming off of a win in the Rogers Cup where he beat Novak Djokovic, Grigor Dimitrov, and Roger Federer in the final. So, Tsonga, yes, he lost early in Cincinnati, but I'm chalking that up to him being a little exhausted after the deep run he had in the Rogers Cup and winning that title. But he's going to be coming into the U.S. Open refreshed. He's going to be coming to the U.S. Open with a lot of belief that I can beat some of the very best people in this game. And I expect him, even though he's just inside the top 10. He's number 10 in the world currently, folks, as of August 20th. But I expect him to put a lot of players on notice. If you see, and being ranked number 10, and with Delpo and Rafael Nadal not playing in the U.S. Open, that will mean Joe-Willy Tsonga will be the number 9 seed at the U.S. Open, which means that any one of the top 8 players can potentially meet him in the round of 16. So whoever that unlucky player is, whether it's Federer, whether it's Djokovic, whether it's Murray, it doesn't matter. Whoever that unlucky player is, there is a real chance that they can be knocked out by Joe Willie Tsonga. Because when he's playing his best tennis, which he showed us for a week in Quebec, he can beat anyone in the world.
All right, so I can't disagree with any of that. I certainly would not want to play him for anything significant. Let me ask you this, GK. Given that the U.S. Open obviously is you have to win best three of five sets, fitness certainly takes on a totally different role than it does in a regular tournament. So talk to me about who you see as some of the most fit players that could really make a deep run at the Open because of their fitness.
Well, even though he's not playing his very best tennis right now, I definitely think Andy Murray still has to be in the conversation. He's a former U.S. Open champion. He is one of the fittest players on tour. And even though he's not playing, say, at 100%, even at 90 or 95%, he is a tough out for anyone. So I think Andy Murray would be someone to watch in this best of five sets, best first to win three Grand Slam scenario. Another player is David Ferrer.
For sure. That was my vote.
He is coming off of a final in Cincinnati. And he will be coming into, he's taking this week off. He's going to be coming into the U.S. Open completely fresh, ready to run. People better watch out.
Could Ferrer win the Open? Let me ask you this. What does David Ferrer need to do to win this U.S. Open?
I personally think, given a perfect storm like what caused Stan Wawrinka to win the Australian Open, David Ferrer or Tsonga, and I'll throw that out there, a David Ferrer or Tsonga could win the U.S. Open. And what the perfect storm might be would be someone like Novak Djokovic, who's not necessarily playing his best tennis right now. He seems to have a few mental things going on where he just doesn't seem focused in some of his matches where he really needs to be tuned in. If Roger Federer, even though he's playing great right now, he did kind of go on a walkabout, especially in his serve in that final at Cincinnati against David Ferrer when he lost that second set 6-1 to David. I mean, he came really close to losing a bagel set to David. David actually had set points to win that set of the bagel. Given us the perfect storm where Djokovic, Federer, I mean, obviously, I think Stan Wawrinka will probably be on an upset alert. He's not playing great tennis right now. I mean, given a perfect storm of those probably top three seeds at the U.S. Open get knocked out, let's say before the quarterfinals or even a round of 16, you could have someone like a David Ferrer or a Joe Willie Tsonga go on to win a title. And the thing about David Ferrer, and they mentioned this in the Cincinnati Open final, anytime he's come up against someone who has been ranked below him, he has a very, very impressive record. It's almost like something like a 95 or 90% plus winning record. He rarely loses to anyone ranked below him. So he is very good at beating the Jerzy Janowicz or Ernest Gulbis.
What is his record against Nadal? He's over, right?
He's over, yes.
Has he ever beaten Fed?
He's never beaten Fed. That was one point he brought in the final.
So this is why I asked you this question. My answer to my own question, how does David Ferrer win the U.S. Open, is to not face one of the top four players.
Well, in this case, it would be the top three, or even the top two, I'd probably say, at the Open. Either Novak Djokovic or Roger Federer.
I think he
could
beat Stan. I think he's got
a fighting chance. He has beat Novak Djokovic before at the World Tour Finals in London. Djokovic, this didn't seem like himself, and Ferrer beat him in straight sets. This was just a couple years ago after Djokovic had that record season in 2011. But with that said, so he's not 0-4 against Novak, but with that said, I mean, he's never beaten Djokovic when Djokovic has been playing great tennis.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'll probably say my biggest dark horse right now would probably be a David Ferrer or Joe Willie Tsonga. But I'm going to throw in the Tommy Robredo as a dark horse. He's definitely the person ranked outside of the top 10.
How old is Robredo?
Robredo, if I'm not mistaken, is 31. if okay. not 32.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's right around Federer's age.
Okay.
And he's in amazing shape.
He's solid.
I know a couple of Wimbledons ago, he was winning like 3 or 4 matches in a row, which all went to 5 sets before he got knocked out. I mean, he's definitely someone who's in great shape, who just doesn't beat himself. And that's what a David Ferrer is like. They don't beat themselves. You have to beat them.
And Robredo's shorts are a little bit longer.
They have gotten longer, which is good for...
Really good for him.
Good for family viewing, folks. So yeah, the only other player I'd want to just throw out there is another kind of dangerous floater out there. He's currently ranked number 11 in the world. He will probably be somewhere around like a 10 seed, so he'd be seeded to go to the round of 16 at the U.S. Open, is Kei Nishikori. He has had a reasonably good season. He's reached his highest ranking. At one point, he was ranked inside the top 10 for the first time. He's right now number 11 in the world. He's definitely, if he's someone that comes into the Open fit and healthy and not with any kind of lingering injuries, he should be someone who is capable of pulling off an upset over a Federer or Djokovic or Murray or basically almost anyone in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's a kind of a player who he's really fit and he's really smart and he's really consistent. And that's kind of like the profile of a player that you don't want to meet in a 5-set match.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Another player that I wanted to get your opinion on who should be the 5 seed in the tournament is Miloš Raonic. Tell me what you think.
Miloš, he has a complete game. He's definitely improved his return of serve this season, which is why he's, with the help of Ivan Ljubicic, he's moved into a top 10 position. He's coming off of a semifinal at Wimbledon, where unfortunately he lost in straight sets to Roger Federer, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4.
Did you see the Federer-Raonic match in Cincinnati?
I did see the Federer-Raonic match.
Federer made mincemeat of him. And why? Because Miloš Raonic is not a well-rounded player. He has 2 legs and a racket. All he's got is a serve. If he can stand and pound ground strokes, he's going to beat you. But Fed did an amazing job of hitting to the open court, making him run to balls, and Miloš Raonic cannot run and hit a tennis ball.
I'll say this. Miloš can actually, he actually has a better well-rounded game, but he doesn't do well when he plays against a player of a lot of variety, like Roger Federer. Put Miloš Raonic against someone like a Grigor Dimitrov or a Kei Nishikori.
Hey, Dimitrov's got an amazing Federer-like backhand slice. So he has a variety, too.
But Dimitrov does not have the same decision-making yet as Federer.
Fair enough.
And I would say right now, I'll be more afraid to face Raonic in a match than Dimitrov if I was a top player.
So let me ask you this. In a best 3-of-5-set match, how do you see Raonic's serve holding up late in a match? Now, this is not Wimbledon. There are going to be some long points in Flushing. So how do you see his serve, which is that's the core of his game. How do you see that holding up in a 5th set?
I see it holding up just fine. His service motion is very fluid. There are times when he seems to miss a number of first serves, but by and large, he doesn't put a lot of effort into executing his serve. So it's a very almost easy, effortless movement for him. Like, I've almost never seen someone serve so smoothly and then look at a radar gun and see a serve in like the mid-140s. It's very scary.
And how do you think it'll hold up given the amount of product that he has in his hair in a 5th set?
That's a good question. But if he takes a good kind of comfort break after the 4th set and redoes his hair, which might take maybe a little bit more than 10 minutes or the 6 minutes that they're allowed. Sure, he may keep that hair all together, not moving, nice and straight, and looking good for the ladies through a 5th set.
All right, so with that, we've taken up enough of your time. Let's get straight into our predictions for the potential semifinalists. This is a day before the draw comes out, so we don't really have the luxury of knowing who's going to be pitted against who. But give me your best guess as to who will make the semis and who will make the finals.
I'm going to predict that Nole is going to get upset before the semifinals. I think Roger will. He'll be the number 2 seed. I think Roger will be in the semifinals in the bottom half. I'm not sure who, but I feel that like there's a good chance Nole, unless he changes, like something major changes in his head, he could be upset as early as like the first or second round this tournament, if not like the round of 16 or the quarters, when he meets some quality players who might be seeded. There's just something going on with Nole right now, and it seems to be more mental than physical.
Well, so I have a little bit of something to add to that theory, and I don't think you're that far off base. I had a chance to see him in Cincinnati, and it was the match that he lost to Robredo, and twice during the match, it was actually once during the match and once after the match, he angrily fired a ball at the wall that Boris Becker was sitting behind. He fired the ball over there, and he gave him that death stare, that Nole death stare. So for sure, I think that you're on point, that there is something mental going on. However, I have faith that Nole recognizes the weight of the moment, and that he will come prepared, ready to gun at Flushing.
Can I just say, the last time something received the Nole death stare, it was that chair at the French Open a couple of years ago. And that bench that he was sitting on had to be replaced. Like, he ripped it to shreds. So good luck to Boris Becker right now. Or no, people in Nole's camp. I mean, whoever that stare was intended for.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. So who do you got in the semis? Without a draw, top four.
Well, this is not knowing, obviously, where people are. But I have someone like a Federer. I have someone like a Tsonga in the semis. I have potentially a David Ferrer, and I have potentially either an Andy Murray or a Milos Raonic in the semifinals.
Okay.
It just depends on these people
Murray
are to draw.
Murray
or Raonic.
No, who between the two? Murray or Raonic? I'm asking you to choose.
If Murray played Raonic, I'd pick Murray to win.
Okay.
Even the way he's kind of playing right now.
And then the finalists, not knowing the draw, two.
I'm going to say Federer versus Tsonga. Just based on Tsonga's play in the Rogers Cup.
And champion?
Federer.
Okay. So, yeah, my top four is not that much different. I got Roger, Andy Murray, Gael Monfils, and Novak Djokovic. And my top two are going to be Roger and Gael. And I think Roger takes it down as well.
Okay.
All right. So, thanks so much for joining us, everybody. You can find us on Twitter. I am Tennishead Kirby. And Chike is Tennishead Chike, that's C-H-I-K-E. Please hit us up with any questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you guys. Until then, take her easy.
Peace.